And welcome to The Break Room, a Superstore fan podcast. My name is Jordan Wiegand, and with me today is Aylin Rowland.
Hello again.
And Casey McGeorge. Oh, we're starting off so well.
How's it going, everybody?
There we go.
We're great.
Doing good. Good to be live here as we're going to be recording our usual show live in case if people wanted to chat. I know it's late on the East Coast, but yeah, we got the West Coast. We didn't get the chance to really talk to the West Coast on Thursday when we went live. So we'll see if we get any West Coast engagement.
And it's Saturday night. So, I mean, hey.
Yeah. What else?
You During the pandemic, so you can't really do anything anyway, right?
You're not clubbing, so.
Not so true, let's just, man. There's stuff opening up out here like crazy.
That's true. I mean, everything's opening up now everywhere, it seems.
Yeah.
So I hope everybody has their snacks. I hope everybody has water. Restaurant the other day. Did you really? California has that now?
Yeah, I think they... Yeah, I started right.
Where'd you go? Where was your first restaurant, Casey? We are on a huge delay, but
what was that?
Sorry, it was we didn't hear you. Did you say where you went? Your restaurant?
Oh, out.
Mongolian barbecue place.
Ooh, nice. But
instead of putting everything in my own bowl, I had to sit there and fill out a slip of paper of what I wanted them to put in the bowl. And then they did their little thing, and I got to sit down after work in a restaurant and relax for about 30 minutes and actually eat.
That's awesome.
It's like a whole new welcome back to the world, right?
So we're going to still break it up in two, but both of them will be tonight. So we'll probably do Perfect Store, then take a break, and then do All Sales Final, maybe 5 minute, 10 minute break. In between, I'll probably just keep us live and just put up we'll mute all the microphones and put like a blank screen up for the time being while we're on a short break. But to start off, we are going to be talking about episode 112 overall, episode 14 of season 6, Perfect Store, directed by Victor Nelly Jr., written by Owen Ellickson and Laura McCrary. It aired March 25th, 2021. On NBC. Dang, sorry, Casey, you froze there. I think, I'm not sure if it's your Wi-Fi
or
not.
The Wi-Fi or the...
It might be the Wi-Fi with video, but yeah. So, Aylin, just talk. Initial thoughts real quick while we're trying to get Casey unstuck
okay,
here.
Yeah, we're getting Casey unfrozen. So, initial thoughts. I mean, we... kind of got into this on Thursday, of course, but
just for this one,
Perfect Store. That's right. I was pleasantly surprised with how strong, I mean, this was. I mean, knowing we were going in with a two-parter was interesting, but this episode on its own, I mean, was very good. Of course, the foot thing was completely surprising to me as a plot point at this point in, you know, the show right before we're about to end. That was a huge, huge surprise to me, honestly. I didn't think they'd bring that back again, but I loved that part. I loved, everyone sort of coming back into their own vibe of what it usually is when they're scrambling to help each other out. And they were trying to make the perfect store, of course, for when the lady came to visit. So it was kind of old school superstore in that way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was a good start to the two part finale, if that's what you want to call it. Two parts, two separate episodes, but, I thought it was a good start. I laughed a lot more than I probably had this season during, you know, both parts, but especially I thought the first part was stronger than I thought it would be. I thought we'd have to wait until part two for a lot of the stuff.
Right. Yeah. And like I said, I think it was interesting that she came back, of course, and like I said, it just went right back into like her with everybody else, that flow of working together, even though it resulted in chaos at some point. You know, it still felt like Amy's back and we're, you know, trying to make things seem normal in this hot mess of a store.
Casey, your initial thoughts, if you're here?
So, for me, this seemed to be what the show was missing for most of the season. I would say with the addition of Amy coming back and with Justin Spitzer back, it seemed like it was a few years ago.
Right.
And I know I've complained on here and I've talked to you guys about how I just wasn't feeling most of this season. And I think I know why. It's I can't necessarily put it on one or the other, but I think it's a combination of both. I think without both of them, the show suffered. We had high hopes for the show being an ensemble without Amy. And I think we had high hopes that it wouldn't miss a beat, but to me, it really did. And the last two episodes, at least for me, confirmed that.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. Like, you know, we were all very confident when America left that this show could continue for a few years.
Or at least another season.
Yeah. Right. But it was very, it didn't really go that way. I'm not sure what it was, but like I said, in the original reaction, it seems like, you know, she was the heart of the show without us even really realizing it. So when she comes back, it just kind of fit like an old glove almost.
Yeah. And like you said too, Casey, you know, Spitzer, being back for those episodes, I think also made a really big deal. Cause he knows these characters better than anyone.
I think they also gave Perfect Store to two of their best writers, Owen Ellickson and Laura McCreary, have written some really of the best episodes.
Yeah. Owen, by the way, if you didn't somehow see it on Twitter preceding the finale, he had some great tweets where he was just completely messing with people.
Yeah.
It's great.
So did we want to go, how do we want to break up this episode? By plot still, or are we going just in order of events, or?
Yeah, we can do that.
Because it picks up, like, you know, right where it left off with, right where it left off, but Amy got some information, right? She figured out that they are closing some of the stores. You know, she says some, and they take it to mean four or five, right?
Yes.
And then she says, no, like 95% of the stores. And that's where we kind of get the main motion here.
It's just them, like how they jump to just like four or five.
Yeah.
Like, well, who was that? It was Glenn, right? And Cheyenne.
Dina,
like four or five. I mean, honestly. They're gonna close.
Yeah, Dina also agreed with five or whatever, too.
Did she? Yeah. Yes, but yeah. It's definitely more than some. Does what? We had you, Casey.
Oh, there you are. It's like now I see you.
It says I'm still here. Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you now. Yeah, it's weird. It's like sometimes it stops you and sometimes
it's just like a delay.
I think we were on the right track last week where I talked about how with them going through the closing process, they would keep that as close to the vest as possible. Not everybody would know.
Really
select few or a select amount of people would know. Amy was not one of those people. Dina tried to get
I was wrong
for it, but I mean, I don't know what they would expect, honestly. Plus, well, not even that, but like if it gets out that they, you know, they're closing stores and they can trace it back that, oh, it got out from room from store 1217. Like, who else mm-hmm. are they going to suspect that sent that information out, right?
Right.
You know, that's the store Amy came from, and they know mm-hmm. that. So it's not like they can sit there and you know, try and figure out where it came from. Like, there's only one person that could have come from. I had some... This was a great episode. There was a couple twingy things in there. My Forrest Whitaker eyes started acting up a little bit during this episode, which we'll get to. So, Amy took, like, the first flight out of California or something like that and just... randomly.
Heck yeah. Took the red eye, I guess.
Yeah, she did. Because I guess it was just the next day or so, right?
It kind of makes you makes it seem that way. Yeah, because then what is it when Joan is on the phone with Jeff mm-hmm. walking in at talking to him about the flood?
You mean when he was on the phone with his lock screen?
With what?
On his lock screen. You can tell when he's holding it up. It's on his lock screen.
Yeah. But yeah, he sees the back of her, you know, and then like
hangs up
and he's like, I gotta call you back.
Or just trying to sell him a Subaru.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I can't take a Subaru right now.
Subarus, man.
Yeah. He's got, I guess, nothing else going on to worry about right now.
So yeah, he sees Amy, is kind of, well, not kind of, he's surprised to see mm-hmm. her there. He had no idea she was coming. Cheyenne did not tell him.
Yeah. Cause she thought it'd be awkward.
Yeah. Cause it totally didn't end up being awkward at all. And then, cut to, I think it comes back to the break room.
Well, I mean, there's no way that wouldn't have been awkward in any way.
Right. Yeah. At least somewhat. Yeah.
Yeah. It was always going to be awkward at somewhat, but this, I think, made it more awkward. Mm-hmm. You know, if he knows she's coming, he can at least prepare a bit. This, it's just kind of put them in this whole, like, why are you here type of whole thing.
Yeah. Because then when I think it comes back, you know, Dina explains, of course, why she's there, talking about what's going on. And then Jonah's not even, he's looking down. He can't even, you know, look at her, really.
Yeah.
Garrett, being a good friend, kind of checks in on him. I liked that little moment.
Imagine being him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine being in his shoes there, because, like, Cheyenne knew, right?
Yeah.
Cheyenne's not really known to keep a secret, so it's never said. I can only imagine that a bunch of other people knew that Amy was coming back.
Yeah,
it seemed like
probably.
Maybe the only person who might not have known was Jonah.
Yeah.
And then he's sitting there in this awkward situation. He knows everybody sitting there looking at her and back to him at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to catch a glimmer of hope between these two, or trying to look at and decipher body language between the two of them, you know, and everybody, you can feel everybody's thoughts going on there if you're Jonah, right? You know, everybody's mm-hmm. thinking weird things in their head, and it's not going to be long before those weird things come out of their head. That's just how they are, right?
Right.
Start blurring it. But when I thought it was really nice, and it's not something you see from very often, for him to notice Jonah in that awkward situation and to at least check up on him and, you know, hey, are you doing okay, man?
Mm-hmm.
You can tell they have a real friendship, and it's not something we see often from Garrett.
Right. Yeah, that's why I like it, because half the time Garrett doesn't like to admit he even likes Jonah.
Yeah.
So that's a nice touch. Not to mention, like, at that point, everyone is basically talking about them with them right there. I mean, Sandra, it's the first thing that she says. What does this mean for you and Jonah? You know?
Yeah, let's not get into that, right?
And then Dina saying, we're going to have two meetings, one about, you know, the store and the store closing, and then one about Jonah and Amy.
Yeah, and everybody wanted to be in the Jonah and Amy one.
Yeah. So that was funny. And then from there, I mean, they just kind of get right into trying to make that store look, you know, somewhat nice, atmospheric, and smell like, what was that, bread that they were baking?
It was cookies in the thing.
Was it cookies? Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell what it was.
It was like those Pillsbury cookie dough.
Oh, okay.
That they just put the cookie dough in there in like a toaster oven and was trying to blow the smell with the fans.
Yeah, and the guy who wanted to
buy the mound of cookie dough. Yeah. How much are you selling that for? Oh, these, it's not even cookies yet. How much are you selling that for?
I mean, you know, Amy jumps like behind the door to spy on the, what's her name? Megan, I think.
Yeah, Megan.
Yeah, the lady who's coming to visit the store, because she just doesn't seem to think that, you know, it's going to be, if she sees her, she's going to know it's her, except
she doesn't
actually know what Amy looks like. And I like that too, because then she's back there with Dina, kind of the same thing. They're trying to, you know, figure that out. She brings her those 5 bags of Doritos.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. The 5 bags. Do you think I would eat 5 bags?
No, I just want to bring you options.
Right.
Yeah. Casey, did we get you back?
Yeah. It's just spinning for him.
I hate that.
Not going so great tonight. On that end. We lost him. So yeah, we get the what else do we get here? We get the
they're back there. The guys are out in front. You know,
oh, they hire the hot people too, right?
Yes. Oh yes, that's right. Basically like the Abercrombie and Fitch models mm-hmm. that you would normally see in the front of the store are coming over to Cloud9 to be the greeters. Of course, Cheyenne thought of that. Right?
Yeah. Well, she said Dina kind of gave her the idea by saying they're not, that the other store had,
hot people.
Yeah. Hot people and all of their workers. Yeah, so I forget what their names were, but they were very, like, pretentious names as well.
Very hipster, yeah.
Yeah, very hipster names.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they and his shirt can come off, too, is yes. what she tells Jonah, right?
And Jonah's just like, no, no.
Yeah. Do you think that would impress Megan, Aylin?
The guy with the shirt off?
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible, but she didn't really seem like she was that, I don't know.
That into it. We got, we got a message here. Elijah asking what's up.
Hello.
Yeah, we're just waiting for Casey. Casey has been having connectivity issues, so we're hoping to get him at it back here. Even if it's just audio, I'm trying to get him.
Yeah, sorry for
that. Yeah, he's signing back in now. Okay. So we'll see. Yeah, I think it's just his Wi-Fi.
Sorry for the stuff, guys.
A little slow. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we got the hot greeters. We got what else were they doing to get the store more perfect? They were, you know, keeping the ugly people out, right?
Oh yeah, that was a great touch. The puppet guy.
Oh, the puppet guy.
Yeah. See, I forgot about that when we were talking. I don't remember, you know, was it Glenn?
Mm-hmm.
He said you can't come in today. That was very creepy. In fact, that whole it actually.
Oh yeah,
adds,
Pat. Thank you, Pat. Yeah, flowers. Yeah, flowers up.
Yeah. That was a great touch, because that just kind of added to the creepy factor of this episode mm-hmm. with that puppet guy. And then, you know, it goes to, oh, it's Justine who screams because she's the one who saw the
finds
bag.
The feet.
Finds the yeah. feet, the bag of severed feet. And
oh yeah, futon in the food court, Elijah says. That's right. They changed the whole layout of the food court to make it look more like homey, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. It kind of looks like the lobby of a hotel or something.
Yeah, yeah, like especially yeah. like a Best Western or something. Yeah. You know, one of those like remodeled ones or something.
Yeah. And yeah, Justine finds it, she screams, they rush over. Jonah is like, no, 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 that's the right reaction you would have because there's feet in there. They come back, and then what are they? Oh, they start trying to figure out how to disguise it. So here's the thing, my question. I just mm-hmm. thought of why, like, they didn't want to actually pick the bag up, I'm assuming because, like,
yeah, Dina says scene, not
do not touch.
Like, do not
so
move.
They, yeah. So, because otherwise, let's be real, they could have just pulled it in the back somewhere.
Yeah, Amy says, let's take it to the back. And Dina's like, well, we can't do that because, well, she actually calls her out in abetting a crime, like aiding and abetting a crime. And then that's when Amy does her whole, oh, yeah, just happens the day I come back. I'm a, you know, and then she's like, oh, no, I didn't actually do that.
I'm the foot killer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So they leave it there, but then, of course, they decide to disguise it with a giant Tower of LaCroix.
Yes, in the bedding section.
In the bedding section.
And they have to keep tall people away.
Yeah, tall people away. Unfortunately, no one was on Marcus duty.
Mm-hmm.
Should have seen that one coming. Now, did you, I mean, how did you, other than up until the point where we saw Marcus freaking out about it, how did you think maybe someone was going to find it?
I don't know if I thought anybody would. I thought maybe they'd get away. I thought really? Maybe they'd get away with it, yeah.
In this store?
Yeah, maybe. Hey, yeah. Casey's back.
Casey's back. Yeah, I didn't know if they would have someone find it or if, you know,
mm-hmm.
they would just, like a customer. I thought a customer would somehow get into it or something. But no, of course it was Marcus, of course.
And you know what? It was Marcus actually trying to do a good job, right? He says, why are these drinks in the bedding section? That doesn't make any sense. Let me move them back. And
well, that's just it. And the other thing is that he, I mean, was the bag still open? Is that how he saw what was in it?
Yes. Yeah, because he, oh, I don't okay. think Jonah re-zippered it. Yeah.
Yeah. See, that was the other problem because I was like, well, he can't get to it. You can't right. touch 4 point. Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. And Pat says they thought that.
Oh yeah, it would
smell.
Good...
That's what I was thinking too. Like, yeah, you can cover it up with LaCroix, but it's going to smell.
Yeah,
it's going to smell really bad.
And it's not like it was one; it was
eight.
Eight, yeah.
As Marcus says six, right? And Jonas says eight, actually.
Yeah.
Oh man, that is so gross. Yeah, that's no good.
So then, let's see, Marcus is screaming about it. The lady is in the background, so, you know, she hears him, of course, along with everyone else in the store. The police arrive, and
yeah, that's when everybody's outside. And the news reporter comes, and we get, you know, them asking Jonah for, you know, I don't think this would actually happen, right? Like, I know sometimes on the news you see, like, people from, like, a convenience store that's like, oh, yeah, we just got robbed, and it's like, whatever. But, like, whenever anything controversial happens at my office anyway, they send out, like, an email if anything was to happen that says, you cannot talk to the press. Like, just direct them right. to our HR or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, especially with a corporate rep there, with whatever her name is again,
Megan.
With yeah. Megan being there, I would assume that she would have been like yeah, going to the employees. Nobody's going to talk about this, right? You're not going to the press. If you go to the press, you could lose your job type of thing, or action can be taken on you, is how I assume that would work. So the fact that Jonah is just able to go up there and Megan's just watching like, huh.
Yeah.
Hey, I wonder what he's going to say.
Yeah. And I mean, I know that they go to like try to get anybody they can, you know, to interview. Because it wasn't like a customer who found it, oddly enough, who could have otherwise been the person interviewed. So they're just basically asking any of the employees or whoever. And they all just stare at each other at first. But then, yeah, Jonah, of course, runs off. Now, before we saw what he, you know, actually said, what did you think of, you know, the way that was going to go?
I wasn't really sure how Jonah would handle the interview, like the phone interview. I mean, the newspaper. What?
Reporter.
Sorry. It's almost midnight here. I didn't know how he'd handle the reporter. I thought maybe he would. I didn't know what he was going to say. I'm not a big fan of what he did say. So.
Yeah.
I was. I don't know why he agreed to speak to anybody. I think he thought maybe that would help him.
He could save the store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why? How would you save the store by saying that? You know, that's what I don't get. Because you're really just, I don't know, kind of putting them on. Like she said, you did, like tempers there are was, high. Like you can't even keep to the subject or whatever.
Well, and even when they were watching it from inside, I think Garrett says, yeah, that's a hard topic to pivot from. Cause you know, she would ask him about the feet, of course, and how it would probably keep most people from going to that sort of shop and, you know, that sort of thing. But, you know, of course, Jonah just trying to do what he can to save the store. I guess he just, you know, thought of it as because like a platform, I guess, so that,
yeah,
you know, he could, in that sense, he is on TV. He has like a chance for people to see him. I don't know. And also the reporter was like standing right there. So he wanted her to hear him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just bizarre. And, you know, I'm glad the reporter kind of called him out on it. Cause I was like, this is such a weird interview you're giving right now.
Now, having said that, I mean, it didn't make sense at all for him to, in that context, but what he actually did say, I mean, I really felt it, you know, because aside from all of the other samosa and other related things in the actual finale, that part kind of got to me a little bit, you know. I think, and I've seen a lot of, I want to say it because I've seen a lot of other people, you know, mention that on Twitter, that they feel like Jonah saying that really kind of was, I guess, the writer's way to, hi, Melissa, to, you know, say to like the, I don't know, American public who works in those, you know, positions that like, we see you, we hear you, we're the show here sort of representing you, obviously. And thank you for what you're, you know, doing. You're always there. And yeah. I mean, it was very heartfelt, even though it was odd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a, yeah. I mean, like, I don't mind what he said, like, as a, what he was trying to do, but I just don't see how that would work at all. Yes, we found feet, but also we just want to keep working. And I hope that the executive over there hears that.
I have to say my favorite part though of that is when she's, you know, asked him, why do you think that the killer wants to leave the feet here specifically at this store? And he pivots by saying, well, you know, it's probably because of our friendly customer service and our quick, you know, all that stuff. And he tried to sell the store in that moment for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And you know, you cut to the people in the store reacting to that, like, he's not doing as good as, you know, as he thinks he is.
And then also I have to say, when he was talking, the little, you know, moment they show Amy watching him, I mean, her face is just so fixated, and she just has like the softest look because she knows that it's crazy what he's doing, but what he's saying, he truly means it, you know, and he's, you know, trying, and it just, oh, it was great. It just, I think it was also the first moment that she was back, that, you know, she's seeing how much he's still fighting, you know, for the store too.
Right. Yeah, it was a, you know, she kept kind of slipping up throughout the episode, right? Of, they're not going to do that to us, right? Or you, is how she corrects herself. But she kept slipping up there, where, you know, she still sees herself as being wrapped up in 1217 and being, you know, a big part of that store.
Mm-hmm.
That when she goes over and, like you said, addresses Megan after Jonah does, and she's, you know, saying, you know, you can't do that to us, and you know, the store has been so much to me and all that kind of stuff. And that's when we learn that they actually were going to keep the store open as a distribution fulfillment center.
But Amy, of course, says, well, you know, what about people's jobs? And she said, well, you know, maybe a handful of people, but otherwise, you know, people will be losing their jobs, of course. But then she says, you know, Amy, you will keep your job. And I kind of figured she was going to say that, you know.
You have to have something.
So that when she did,
Amy has to give up. Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, and it was just so nice to see, because that was the perfect way to end that half as it then went into the next. Because, you know, and I kind of thought it in the sense of, like, had we had that episode and then the week later had just our finale, you know what I mean, separated, that that would have worked so well to build up the, you know, kind of hype for.
Suspense.
Yeah. But it flowed nicely, you know, into the finale.
Yeah, it really works as a two-parter or a one-parter. You know? Like, it works well as two separate episodes, but also as one. Like, literally, when it aired, it cuts from I quit to 1 month later. And you're like, okay, there we go, new scene. When I just watched it again on Peacock, it actually ends and then goes and loads a whole nother episode. And, it was a little bit of a break there, you know, while I was waiting.
Right. And I think that kind of added to it, because I saw some people say too, it felt like a Superstore little movie or something.
Yeah. We are just waiting for Casey. I think he's having some connectivity issues. So this might not actually be the episode that gets uploaded as the full reaction. Cause I'm assuming whenever we can, we would actually get Casey on for the full episode. So, but we'll just hang out and talk a bit, I think, as we go. But
yeah, we have plenty to talk about.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about. I do want to read something I just read in an interview here, that this was still the plan for the season if they were picked up for season 7. Not the store closing, but the store being split into two. So this is what they say here. They say, the final shot of the season would have been a wall going up and dividing the store. And we were leading, they were leading toward taking our co-managers and having Dina in charge of the fulfillment center and Glenn in charge of the in-person part of the store, and dividing some of our employees and seeing what that's like in season 7.
Oh, wow.
They said that was already the plan, that they then adapted into the series finale by just closing it.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, especially because I don't know how I would have liked that in season 7, honestly.
Me either.
Like what that, they put a real wall up and they can't interact as much, or like what? Couldn't they just use the warehouse as a distribution? That's what I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Because then you've got, I mean, I could kind of see some of the potential for comedy there with like the newness of it, you know, but at the same time, then like you said, you've got some characters over here, some characters over here. Would the flow of it still feel the same? Who do you split up? You can't have all the kooky people in one thing together because they have to work. They have to offset the others, you know, in that sense.
Yeah, almost like Color Wars, but split up into different
sides.
I could see Carol on one side and Sandra on the other side. That would be great.
Yeah.
Okay, it looks like Casey's back. I'm going to add him in here and see if it works here.
Oh, also with that concept, I was going to say somebody had a little clip of Marcus saying that, and this is from like, I mean, a way past episode, not one from this season, I don't even think, of him saying, I heard something about them turning the stores into fulfillment centers.
Really?
It's crazy. Yes. It's
there you go. There's Casey. Are you on your phone?
Yeah.
Yes.
That is working so much better.
I ditched the computer and the Wi-Fi and went straight to the phone.
Do it.
I apologize to everybody. I don't know what the hell happened.
But it's okay. You're back. And we can
let's rewind a bit because we got to the end of the episode. So let's rewind and get Casey's thoughts on the biggest part being we'll kind of go back to the.
Okay, so let me.
Yeah, wherever you remember hearing.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if you guys got it because my audio was messed up. But I said, you know, I was talking about how Jonah was in a messed up situation and he feels everybody's eyes are on him and he knows everybody's eyes are on him. And he feels he knows the thoughts in everybody's head, right? And I talked about how we don't get to see a sensitive side from Garrett very much. And for him to recognize that in Jonah and reach out, I thought was really nice. Didn't take long, right? Before, I think Sandra was the first one to bring it up, because of course it's Sandra. And then from there, all the wackiness and hilarity ensues. And it almost felt like, it felt like two things. It felt like, A, we needed to get the Benny Hill theme song rolling, right? For anybody who's old enough to remember that. And B, this is what I was talking about initially, if you guys were able to understand, where I said I could tell there was a difference with America Ferrera and with Justin Spitzer and without. Because this seemed like the superstore of a few years ago. This was more like the show I fell in love with and enjoyed watching from week to week. Now, my Forrest Whitaker eye started twitching when the duffel bag came into play. Because I get and I understand what and why they were doing what they were doing. But remember a few episodes ago, I had the quote of the hard right over the easy wrong. This is another situation of that. They should have done the hard right instead of the easy wrong. I kind of agree with Hannah, I believe was her name when they showed her.
Oh yeah.
Hannah's the girlfriend, right? Or is it Megan? Yes. I'm so lost.
No, it's Hannah.
He's talking about Hannah when they're outside eating.
And she brought up the fact that, you know, she understands Jonah's. Well, Jonah didn't have any passion at first, but then when he's with her, this passionate side came out. But she brought up the fact of, do you really think you're going to change anything? More than likely, this decision has been made for a long time. You know, if they said they're closing 95% of the stores, especially that decision has been months in the making. Not only that, that's probably a decision they knew of right off the bat after, what was it, season five, when they bought, when Zephra bought Cloud Nine? Season five.
Cloud Nine.
And I think it was a couple episodes later after they came back off of their yearly hiatus in January, February, where you were talking, Aylin, about Marcus brought up the fact of he heard they were going to turn them into distribution centers and they had to, and he had to kind of pipe that stuff down.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, so that's probably something they initially wanted and thought. Like I told you guys before, I thought they wanted the data. They wanted the data of where these stores were, what stores, minus the pandemic, because that's just screwing up the entire world.
Yeah.
What stores are selling what merchandise, what stores are bringing in a buttload of money, and what stores are closer to their areas where they can now either use them. Because like, take, I guess Zephra will be modeled after Amazon, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Amazon has these distribution centers all over the place now instead of just two or three. Like there's one like 10 minutes away from my house.
Yeah, there's one in Baltimore now too.
And there's some in a lot of these smaller towns. So that way, for all these people who have Amazon Prime, you know, like I've literally ordered stuff and gotten it the same day.
Yep.
Like I've been on the phone.
I've heard of that.
Saw something I liked and it gives you a little countdown. Get it today if you order within the next 2 hours and 56 minutes. And it's really easy to just be like, sure. And sure enough, later that afternoon, there's an Amazon driver dropping something off of my door, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think, crazy. Zephra wanted the Cloud9 brand name, and they wanted the facilities to be able to get their stuff out more. As much as my Forrest Whitaker eyes started twitching about the feats, I still loved it because this was the Cloud Nine from a couple of years ago. This was Mark. Well, first Justine's scream was great, right?
Yeah, so it was. Down. That was like, yeah.
Well, now imagine this. Imagine you're Justine, and for whatever reason, there's a duffel bag, and you open it, and there's eight damn feet inside of a duffel bag. Right? Like that is the amount of therapy she's going to need is ludicrous.
Oh, she looked pretty happy at the end.
That's probably, but that's, what was that, 5 years later?
That's years later, Jordan.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, like, so I wonder if Zephra paid for that therapy, right? But okay. So they do their easy wrong. They decide to hide it. Initially, they wanted to move it. Dina has to step up and be like, no, we're not moving this. Like, I'm not going to jail. Or were you guys moving this up?
Right? Okay, first of all, quick question. Out of the three of us, who would have moved it to the back?
I would have right here. There would have been there would have no, I would have stopped you and I would have called the cops immediately. There would have been nobody stopping me from dialing 911.
Aylin is Amy. You know, Aylin is Amy right there. She'd be like trying to move it, and we'd have to be
seriously.
Like, I think you're the one that did it then.
So
I mean, I watch a lot of scary movies. What can I
say? Well, so I listen to, you guys have seen my podcast list, and I listen to a ton of them. One of the things that clouded up a lot of murder back in the day was police not securing a scene. So it's hard enough that it's inside of a Cloud9 store, right? Your scene's already compromised, but you can still do your best to keep that scene as little compromised as possible. Instead of trying to move it, deciding to put water around it, people like now. LaCroix. What we find out later, what we find out later is the scene was definitely compromised based on why it was there, right? Mm-hmm. And it's one of those where that person has a very easy reason to say, oh, well, you know. There's a reason why you might find my stuff here.
Yeah.
So there's 8 feet, right? They said there was a total of 8 feet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that means there are up to 8 people dead, because it could be 4 sets of feet at 2 apiece, or it could be 8 people who are now dead.
Somewhere. Yeah, we don't know. We don't know if they're left, right. We don't know any of that. Yeah.
It could be all left. It could be all left
feet. Yeah.
Right? We don't know any of this. I loved Marcus's scream.
No details given.
I loved Marcus's scream later on.
Why was nobody on Marcus duty? Seriously. He was a loose cannon. Someone should have been on that.
Because they probably thought he was in his shower stomping his poop down the drain. Right?
Or they think he won't care because he does stomp his poop down the drain.
And he also cut his thumb off in season one. So
yeah,
they think he with the deli slicer.
Saying, like, tell him to go home. Just tell him to go home, though. For the day.
Speaking of going home, right? I like Amy and Jonah there, and they're trying to figure out, like, okay, we need to send all of our bad employees home. And they start
that's what
thinking,
I mean.
But like Amy said, if we pull the thread on that sweater, we're not going to have a sweater left. Like, because eventually there's going to be like nobody left that can stay in the store. My biggest question in this entire episode is, why did it take them 6 seasons to bring a dude with a puppet, the hand puppet guy, into our line?
But before we get to him, I do want to just say one thing about Marcus finding the feet. I loved his reaction, and I loved him saying, like, this is what I'll think of every time I enter this store now, right?
Yeah.
And I love Jonah trying to play it off originally, like, I don't know, Lost got pretty weird at the end there.
Yeah.
And thinking that he's, like, trying to, you know, make him talk like he's talking about a TV show. And then you get Marcus just like, no, this is what I'm going to picture every time I come in here. And he keeps the job there. As we'll talk about next episode.
Marcus is saying, basically saying everything that they did not want him to say, that they did not want anyone to say, in order to have for that lady to find out what was going on.
Casey, flip your phone around.
Did you turn your camera off accidentally?
No, I was trying to. I was trying to turn my light on in my bedroom. But yeah, Marcus is saying everything that they didn't want him to say, right? Because, you know, they want this lady to think good thoughts about the store. So, of course, it's Marcus to be like, hey, I'm not going to think of anything else anytime I come in the store except for the fact that I found 8 feet inside of a duffel bag.
Yeah.
That's the superstore that I missed this last season. The cops come out.
So Jordan and I talked about the end already. So you should keep going with the rest of,
Okay, so
like my reporter and stuff.
My Forrest Whitaker eye started twitching there as well, right? Because my last 2 years in the Army, I did public affairs. I prep people for interviews, what not to say, what to say, blah, blah, blah. I know this isn't real, but I have had a weird incident at I had a guy die in my Walmart when I was over the front end. One of the vendors came in and had a heart attack in the back room, right? So, obviously, they called the cops. They had to call, like, our market manager, which is basically Jeff, the district manager. So, within, like, 30 minutes, I think it went all the way back to home office. And the CEO and, like, vice presidents, everybody knew what happened in the store. Within, like, 20, 30 minutes from there, it came down very quickly because they have what's called the EOC, Emergency Operations Center, that works all night to deal with any sort of things like this that come up. And it was put out to everybody. Nobody talks to the media.
This is what I was saying when you were gone. I said, like, anytime anything like that, or it's like if my company's in the news or something, they just say, do not go to the media. If you have any people reach out to you, direct them to our office or something.
Direct them to our media.
Don't say anything.
Don't say anything whatsoever. Just don't even give them a no comment because then
keep your mouth
that
shut.
Just politely decline the interview and tell them you're going to refer them to whoever the appropriate people is. So immediately when Dawn is like, yeah, I'll do it, I thought immediately to all my training and my eyes started twitching. And then it ripped into overdrive because I'm like, he's going to go full Jonah during this interview.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be the most Jonah-est he's ever Jonah'd during this interview.
He's trying to save the store.
And it's going to be fantastic in so many levels. And sure enough, he did. And I admire his passion, and I loved his passion. But he broke so many rules there, and mm-hmm. he tried to do the saying something without saying anything, and he kind of failed miserably at that. And then he just went off the deep end. And the reporter was great. And yeah, he has a horrible interview, and Amy catches up with whoever the lady is that doesn't recognize her. And she has to remind Megan. Everybody not to tell Dina.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't tell Dina. Which, I mean, is reasonable, because I can't imagine she was in very many meetings with her. And especially if they were doing meetings in person, they had a mask on. So she might know the voice and the name, but you may not be able to put the face to it. And then, you know, she tries to lay it down that, you know, why they're doing this and why she's out there and they're going to save the store. And she kind of gives them hope for about 2.5 seconds of we're not closing the store down before she breaks it to them of, yeah, we're turning it into a fulfillment center.
Mm-hmm.
Which is unfortunate, but it's a realistic thing that's happened in a lot of places. Another part I didn't. Okay, have you guys ever seen Dodgeball?
Yes. Yeah.
Aaron, tell me you've seen Dodgeball.
I've seen parts of it, not the whole thing.
Mm. Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
I've heard that.
That's a bold move, Cotton.
Let's see how it plays out, yeah.
Yeah. When Amy decides to quit from out of nowhere, I can't tell you the words that came out of my mouth, all right? Because, not that they're politically incorrect, but there'd be very many people mad at me. I think you guys can imagine what I said. But then I also thought, that's a bold move, Cotton. Let's see how it plays out.
Okay, I have a quick thing, though. You said, I kind of get what you mean by out of nowhere, but at the same time, I mean, she was just talking to her, you know, the lady about how but you can't close the store. You know, these are people's jobs. I've spent like over half my life here. You know, she was getting emotional and passionate and, you know, all that about it. So, I mean, I don't think it was completely out of nowhere. I mean, but it certainly feels surprising, right?
I say that because, so Emma is what, 16, 17 now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
During this episode, Parker's 2. There's a dog somewhere we haven't seen for like 3 years, I think, right?
Yeah.
Maybe Adam got him.
Yeah.
So
it's the only thing he can.
He's probably trying to feed the double A batteries. I don't know. So, yeah. So Emma's getting ready to go to college, right? If she chooses to go to college. She's a young woman. She has to decide what she wants to do. And that's understandable. This job will allow Amy to help her pay for college without Emma having to put herself in a massive amount of student loan debt. It's usually a good rule of thumb to not leave a job until you at least have another job lined up or prospects of another job. Not just to decide in the middle of the night after finding 8 feet in a duffel bag on a random Tuesday that you're going to quit your job. Another thing I thought of is usually with stuff like this. So we see in the next episode real quick that Amy ends up coming back to Missouri from California.
A month later.
Yeah, so a month later. So, but with jobs like this, okay, she gets this job. They probably paid to move her out there and get her set up and stuff like that. There may be things in the contract that she signed to get the job that says she has to stay in her job for a certain period of time. Otherwise, she has to end up paying for that move out there. Like, there's all these other little ancillary things that go along that, and I get it, this is just me overthinking everything again because that's what I do. Right, but
those thought, yeah.
but those are things that, like, if she just decides to quit on the spot like that, she might be on the hook for, like, thousands of dollars of stuff that she has to pay this company back for them for moving her out here without staying a certain amount of time. And that's it. I get why she did it, and mm-hmm. I understand it, but I wouldn't think about doing that unless I had prospects lined up, or like I knew like I could get out of that job, and within a certain period of time, I was going to move into another job, because especially during the pandemic, it's a little hard out there for some people.
Well, what mm-hmm. I liked about it, her quitting, is it reminded me of Amy of old, you know, that was yes. anti-establishment, anti-corporate, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, she was, it put her in that spot finally, right? Of the, all of last season and the seasons when they're dealing with the unionizing, she's like, I can't get caught with this or else I can lose my job. Right.
Mm-hmm, right.
This time it was, you keep your job, but we're closing this store down. And that's when she finally drew the line and said, no, I don't want to keep this job if that's what the cost is, you know? And mm-hmm. you can realistically say, well, they were going to close it anyway. They still do after she leaves, so it doesn't really matter. But I don't think she would have been happy knowing what that store turned into and if she was still collecting a check from Zephra. So I felt like this was old school Amy, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, because otherwise her friends don't have their jobs anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And Jonah.
Like I said, this is the show I fell in love with 6 years ago when it started. This is what was missing like the last year or maybe a little more, because I told you guys before, something seemed off and I couldn't figure out what it was. And my interest and love for this show was waning. But this was the show that started 6 years ago where there was a lot of people who were really interested in it. And I don't know. Well, I know why people left, but it's.
Well, could part of it be that she, like when she became manager? Because I feel like they started running a lot of the same storyline of, oh, Amy messes up or she has this weird issue and she needs to fix it before her bosses find out above her. And I feel like that was a plot line for a bit, or the employees mm-hmm. are undermining her. And
yeah.
I felt like that's where it kind of really started getting into the rut where Amy kind of felt different and then she left and then, you know, Spitzer was gone already and
mm-hmm.
kind of all changed.
It was kind of like the, you know,
we were going through the same stuff every day.
Yeah.
It was like we were going through the same thing every week and there wasn't much variation of it. The variation was who would cause this issue for Amy?
Yeah.
One week it would be Saeed. 1 week it would be Jonah. 1 week it would be Mateo. Justine.
Yeah, it would
be Mateo. Stuff like that. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, but, hey, speaking of Mateo, do you have a Mateo meter for this first half?
People were asking the other night. Yeah,
you were sorely missed the other night with that.
No, because...
There's not much, I know. But
he didn't do anything to really cause me to hate. you know what? I'm going to say this. Just for one person, and I hope he's listening out there. Just for one person, I still hate Mateo because he doesn't like the Marvel Universe. Just for you, okay?
I don't think it's watching this, but yeah.
I don't care. It's my podcast, and yeah, I'm gonna hate him just for that. No, I didn't hate him. What I did not like, and it had nothing to do with Mateo. And this will kind of get in the next episode. His situation was never resolved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I get it.
Yeah.
That, especially when you read everything after, when they find out about the cancellation. And
yeah, Melissa, it's a thing I'll have to tell you about.
It was an episode where Jeff came back and he said his imaginary boyfriend was liking the.
See, I love Melissa already because that.
That's my friend Melissa.
Question mark. That exclamation point and question mark makes me think her head is about to explode right now.
yeah.
So he decided
definitely to definitely leave the review
and dodge out of Marvel. But I get it. They had a very short amount of time to work with to get these episodes in, and to get an ending that people will be happy with. And his situation is so complicated.
It's so hard with that limited time.
Even for people who are in that situation realistically.
In real life,
Yeah, it's not easy for them to even get out of that situation. But I did not like the fact that, like, he was worried, and I felt sympathy for him, and the fact that he was, I felt sympathy for the fact that he was worried about his immigration status, because I can't imagine the stress that puts him in every single day. But then it was just like, meh. Use your imagination. And that was a little frustrating for me. But there was no Mateo hate this episode.
And it also sounds like, just for clarification, that they filmed a whole bunch of stuff that we weren't able to get into these episodes. But Elijah wants to know, Casey, what does Mateo think of wrestling? I think if he doesn't like the MCU, he's not digging WWE.
I don't think he's a wrestling fan, but, you know, wrestling is a very niche product. I get it. You know, just, you know, something's not for everybody. Like, I'll bring this up. The world lost Jessica Walter a couple of days ago, who is Lucille Bluth from Arrested Development. Like, that, like, she's so quotable, and she left us so many great lines from that show. I was going to try and drop some in here, but because my computer was messing up for 45 minutes, I wasn't able to get it down. I'm still going to try.
Here's some money. Go see a Star Wars.
I was going to wait for a question, and my thought, my response was going to be, I don't understand the question, and I won't respond to it. There was no Mateo hate. There was no Jonah hate this episode. And I think once we get into the next episode, you might be surprised of some of my thoughts.
I was already surprised with most of what you said in the first half.
Yeah, I was actually surprised about the no Jonah hate after that news interview.
Well, not just that, but with... Because I just have to say, I remember, Casey, at one point, weeks back, you said, I don't know if I really even care if she comes back or not for the finale.
You're correct. I 100% said that. And
would you like to eat your foot now?
Well, no. Look, if there's any hate that's going to come towards me, that's one of the reasons why
I got a guy that can chop off your foot, actually.
Yeah.
We all know him, right? But one of the reasons I asked about doing this on video was because of all the grief I've given you and everyone who has been on the Samosa train for so long, right?
Well, not just that, but I mean Amy coming back.
I could have just as easily said, well, just do an audio version, and that's it. But if there's going to be any comments or any hate that's going to come my way, I can be a good sport and I'll take it. And I want to be here and everyone
see
can
it.
Send it. Yeah. Well, everyone can send it right to me. Like, I deserve that. All I ask is keep it classy and keep it cool. Like, nothing personal. And we're good. It's all in good fun.
That's all I wanted to say. Yeah. I remember you saying that.
Here's the thing. I think if Justin Spitzer had not come back, we would not have gotten the episode we did. Yeah. And I wouldn't have liked Amy coming back. Like I said, I can't separate the two from everything they've done for the show. I think if just one or the other had came back, it wouldn't have been the same.
So I think it's the combination. Yeah.
Imagine if Amy does come back, but it's still the same people writing and running the show with no Justin Spitzer. I don't think it's as good. And I think you might see me gloating right now, like, does she really need to come back for that? But I'll eat my words. I was 162.9% wrong that she didn't need to come back.
It was. Do we want to give a golden vest for this first half?
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna give it to Marcus, just because of his scream. Marcus. And everything else. And You know what, Elijah, you're right. The best thing is when heels get their comeuppance, and I know I was going to get my comeuppance, so I wanted everyone to have video and see it and be able to relish it because I deserved it.
And we're going to clip that too, and we're gonna just put that clip up all the time. We got Pat applauding you as well here. You said so. You're giving it to Marcus.
Marcus's scream and his comments just made the whole episode, because they might have been, it might have been Scooby-Doo. Like, I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you, stupid Marcus, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Marcus was the Scooby gang here. It was just great.
Aylin? Jordan, what's yours?
Oh, okay. I'll go first. I think I'll have to give it to Amy for this. Her last act as a Cloud Nine employee for quitting.
That's a good one.
For quitting.
I would be inclined to say that too, but I'm trying not to, you know, just repeat what you said. But if not Amy, then I don't know. I thought Justine's scream was really good. It was like one you'd hear in a horror movie. So maybe just a little small, thing for her in that.
Yeah. Melissa wants to know what's happening. What does Casey deserve?
Okay.
This must have been from a podcast she didn't hear. Casey deserves everything he's about to get, is that's what I'll say. No, he did Casey, say that.
To yeah, summarize ahead, it quickly. Yeah. It's just, actually, it was probably some weeks back or even longer. Melissa, he just said that this was obviously before America was announced that she was coming back. And he had just said that, I don't know if I even really care or need her to come back for the finale at all.
Those are like, probably almost my even exact words,
Yeah. I was trying to really remember what you said. And it wasn't even particularly about Samosa. It was just Amy coming back at all. He didn't
need for any of the characters,
for any reason. And yet about 30 minutes ago, he said, she's back. Spitzer's back. And it felt like the Superstore of yesteryear.
Because what I also said was, other than Jonah, what did she need to come back for? Right? I said it would also just be fan service to bring her back, because I thought they would just shoehorn something in of having her back.
And they didn't.
Pat says she thinks that was they think that it was Marcus's best scene.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if ever, but it was his best scene of the episode. Yeah.
What is cheese? That might be his best scene.
Yeah.
But this would be like a close.
I don't know. The breast milk cheese or whatever it was. That was that was great. Him getting his finger chopped off was great,
I don't want to look.
Honestly, sometime we should just devote a whole
top five Marcus moments.
Yeah, because there's a lot. But I guess, should we go into the finale?
Well, let's quickly, let me just go over ratings real quick on this one before we move on.
Oh, you have? Okay.
The first half was a 0.6 in the ratings share, which is the highest since the premiere of the season, with 2.71 million viewers. That's the highest since the beginning of the season. So all you needed was Amy back, and boom, right? That is weird. I mean, the ratings didn't tank super bad when she left, but as soon as she comes back, also it's the finale, so obviously people are tuning in. But yeah, I would attribute some of it to Amy. Melissa says she really likes Sandra, but can't remember if she liked her in the first episode or the second. Probably the second. You're probably thinking of the second episode with she had a lot of standout moments.
Oh, God. Yeah, I have to get to that.
And that was the first part of our series finale reaction. That was from a live stream, so there's no actual break here. So I am going to be wrapping it up here on my own. If you want to reach out to us before we record another episode, reach us at TBR Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/Breakroom Superstore, or email us at thebreakroomss@gmail.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening and your support, and have a heavenly day.